Shalom. Welcome to another episode of Inspiration from Zion. I'm Jonathan Feldstein, and I have the privilege of being your host, coming to you from the Judean Mountains here in Israel. I like to refer to it as the original Bible Belt. Inspiration from Zion is a program of the Genesis 123 Foundation, whose mission is to build bridges between Jews and Christians with Israel in ways that are new, unique, and meaningful. I pray that you will find this all of those. Through this program, we're excited to connect you to people and stories in and relating to Israel to give you a window to look through, experiencing aspects of life here that you might not otherwise know about. We want this to be interactive, so please be in touch with us at inspirationfromzion@gmail.com and send along any questions and any comments about any topic anytime. Or you can reach us at genesis123.co or follow and like Inspiration from Zion on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. As always, stay till the end, where we're going to offer you an exciting opportunity that happens to be particularly relevant to today's conversation. And please feel free to share this with others who will also find it of interest. Today, we're having a conversation that none of us present would ever like to be having, and I'm getting choked up thinking about it, and I think we'll be doing that a few times during. There are so many people who are currently mourning the loss of our friend, Olga Meshle Washington. If you're following this and you never heard of Olga before, please stay tuned. Please follow us and listen to our comments as we begin to share some insights and memories from her incredible life. There's been an unbelievable outpouring of grief and condolences since she died on January 6th. The sheer volume of people reflects her greatness and reflects how many people she touched, how many people loved and truly respected her. But many didn't know Olga, and many may have never heard of her. So we want to have this conversation to continue to benefit from her legacy and propagate her memory. And that's why we're here together, to remember her greatness, to celebrate and honor her, to comfort her family, and to shine a light on her life for others to appreciate and emulate. In the Jewish tradition, in the 7 days following the burial of a loved one, we begin a process called Shiva, which is a period of mourning typically observed in the home of the person who's passed away, observed by that person's closest blood relatives. It's a time when family and friends, colleagues, people who didn't even know the deceased will come to try to express their comfort and condolences. And often, and I found this in my personal life, leaving very inspired, learning about the life of somebody who we may not have known, parents who we didn't know or whose lives we didn't know in their entirety. And that's what I'm hoping that we can do today, because first and foremost, we're all mourning. And I hope that this will be an opportunity for us to grieve, to have comfort, and to comfort Olga's family, but also to inspire those who didn't know her or didn't have the privilege of interacting with her as we did. For those who didn't know, to an extent, we are taking the role of being an extended branch of her family and serving that role today. And I hope that this will be healing for each of us as well. I don't want to speak on behalf of everybody here tonight, and I won't. My purpose is to be moderator, and I'm sure I will interject. But I am sure, in speaking on all of our behalf, that we would all rather be doing something very different than we are right now in remembering our friend Olga. To that extent, I want to introduce several people who are joining us today from three continents who are going to share their memories of Olga. In alphabetical order, Greg Kuznovsky, who's a member of the National Board of Club Z in the United States. Arthur Lenk is a former Israeli diplomat with 23 years of foreign affairs experience. He served as Israel's ambassador to Azerbaijan and to South Africa. Rolene Marks is a spokesperson for the South African Zionist Federation, a journalist, and head of public diplomacy for World Wizo. David Necrutman is an author, speaker, and one of the main leaders in Jewish-Christian relations. He currently serves as executive director of the Isaiah Projects. And Benji Shulman is a board member of the South African Friends of Israel, supporting bridge-building activities between the Jewish community and the wider South African community to support Israel. And Emily Winkler is an impact entrepreneur and sustainability expert and founder and CEO of Volup. Am I pronouncing that correctly, Emily? Okay. If not, that won't be the worst thing I do. Friends and co-mourners, thank you for joining us today. Arthur, I know you are, and we're dispensing with titles today. We're all sitting around the table, around in the living room, sharing our memories of our dear friend. Arthur, I know you're on a time constraint tonight, especially with what's going on in Israel today. Would you like to jump in and just share some unique story and perhaps what, from your perspective, will be Olga's greatest legacy vis-a-vis Israel?
Yeah, firstly, thanks for organizing this. And while you're right, none of us wanted to do this, but given that the tragedy happened, there's no place I'd rather be than to talk about Olga. And I met her in Pretoria, South Africa, soon after I arrived there with my family in 2013, and we hosted a reception for Hanukkah. And I didn't know her, but I knew her father. And Olga was the daughter of a very, very prominent pastor and the leader of the African Christian Democratic Party, a small Christian party in South Africa that on my very first days in South Africa, I met him and saw that he was committed to Jewish Christian relations and South African Israeli relations, and was an ally from the moment we met. And he's a dear friend until today. He brought his daughter to this Hanukkah reception at the ambassador's residence in Pretoria. And we started chatting, and I realized that I learned quickly that Olga was a young attorney working for one of the biggest law firms in Johannesburg, very posh, well-known firm, and she could have done anything. She was sharp. She was educated. She was certainly, certainly well-spoken, as we'll hear again and again throughout this conversation. And she could have done anything. And in fact, there's a term in South Africa for those young, educated Black people. They're called Black Diamonds. Because there aren't enough, because of the complicated history of South Africa, those educated, worldly, really with it, young Black people within the business community have every opportunity in the world. Every company, every law firm, every accounting firm, every international business wants to work with these people. And Olga was exactly a candidate to go in that direction. But it became obvious in our first conversation that she was going nowhere near that direction, and she couldn't wait to leave the law firm because her place was in politics. Her place was in people-to-people connections. Her place was as a leader of her community, and her place was finding the connections between Jews and Christians, and that's what she did with the rest of her life. She could have been a senior partner at that law firm by today, 10 years later, but clearly her aspirations were much higher and much more about coexistence and bringing people together. If I can, just two more other quick stories that was the next summer or the next year in August, in the summer of 2014, here in the Northern Hemisphere, Israel was fighting a war in Gaza. I don't want to say similar to today, but it was a tough time. And those of us in South Africa felt like we were on the front lines in a complicated, contrary atmosphere. Olga and her family and people connected to her made their views clear. They were friends with Israel. They understood that that were millions of South Africans, certainly Christians, who stood with Israel. And the Jewish community of South Africa organized a solidarity event with about 15,000 people who came out in Johannesburg, South Africa in the summer of 2014. Olga was one of the speakers. I spoke there too. It was easy to get the Israeli ambassador. But to get young, prominent South African lawyers like Olga was a coup. And Olga looked at it not as that she was doing us a favor, but I remember her standing next to me on the stage in front of all these people taking a selfie, not believing that she had the opportunity to be with so many people who stood together between South Africa and Israel. And then finally, one last story is the last time I saw her in South Africa was I went to her father's church a few Sundays before we left South Africa. I thought it was important for Israelis to go to church. Got to go to synagogue too. But our friends are in church. And that weekend, along with saying farewell to a friendly Israeli ambassador, Olga was there with the gentleman that she had just become engaged to, Joshua Washington from the United States. And I'm sure more people are going to talk about Joshua as tonight goes on. But they were together in South Africa in church for the very first time. We met him. We met his family. We were together with our dear friends, the Meshways. And the story of their 10 years together and speaking out and not looking to be black diamonds in the business sense, but being Christian diamonds and people that build bridges and bring people together. That's certainly what they were all about and their family. And I send my love to the Meshways, to the Washingtons. And we know that her memory is a blessing for anybody who knew her and will be a lesson on how we're better together and how Jews and Christians have so much in common, so much to work together, that Israel and Africa and Israel and South Africa have so much to do together. And Olga is at the center of all of that. And as long as we're here, she's here too.
Thank you, Arthur. Very beautiful. Rolene, I want to come to you. I'm just going to keep moving around, but bridging the Israel and South Africa piece, you're a South African-born Israeli, and you also had plenty of opportunities to know and collaborate with Olga. Can you share something unique from that with us, with everybody?
You know, I'll never forget a friend of mine coming back from South Africa saying to me, must have been about 8 or so years ago, I met a queen in South Africa. And without knowing who he had met, I said to him, you must have met Olga Meshwe. She wasn't Olga Washington yet. I said, you must have met Olga Meshwe. He says, yes, that's the one I met. And to tell you the truth, I can't remember when I met Olga because I can't remember a time without Olga. She was just such a massive presence and you couldn't help but be mesmerized by her, and you couldn't help but just fall in love with Olga. And I'll tell you something, because I know that we're going to speak a lot about her incredible speaking abilities, her intellect, what a woman of faith she was. To me, she was the embodiment of an Eshet Chayil, a woman of valor with impeccable, values, a moral code that she lived by. She wasn't just a daughter of Africa. She was also a daughter of Zion, but she was also a girl's girl. And many people might not know this about her. And especially in the last 15 months, Olga would phone me ever so often to check on my husband and I, if we're doing okay, to offer some sage words of advice, maybe to ask an opinion or two. I know she was so proud, guys, of Club Z. I had the privilege of meeting some of your young leaders through Olga. And I also had the privilege through World Wheat of hosting her during the pandemic. And she blew everybody away. But sometimes, like two girls do, we would have a little goss about something in the pop culture. And we both have an affinity for the royals. And we would have a little chat. I see Emily laughing there, and we would have a chat.
You're coming to Emily next, I think.
Lucy, we were on the great family divide, and we both were on the same team and had very strong opinions about the opposing team. And that's what I loved about Olga's. You know, she didn't just have opinions about politics, and she didn't have just have opinions about the situation here in Israel. She had opinions about everything, and had such conviction and had so much thought that she brought to whatever she did. And to me, it still feels absolutely unfathomable that we are having this event. And I sat down to write a tribute to her for Lay of the Land. And I thought, how do I write this? Because to write about someone in the past means she is no longer with us. And quite frankly, I'm not ready to accept that yet. I'm not ready to accept that this brilliant, bright light, this force of nature, this woman who has impacted every corner of the earth with her goodness, with her moral clarity, but who truly glowed when she spoke about Joshua,
yes,
who she was so blessed and loved so much, and her two gorgeous, gorgeous little boys. And I don't even want to think of what they must be feeling, because Olga is irreplaceable to us. Imagine what her family are feeling, and to the Meshua and Washington families. There are so many words to say, but there are no words to say, because there aren't enough that would do justice,
yes,
to the brilliance that was Olga Meshua Washington. And I think that her legacy will live on in every single one of us, not just now, but in the generations to come.
Well said. Thank you.
As remarkable and miraculous as Israel is, and its very existence a testimony to God's faithfulness, in many ways, Israel's like most other countries. Just as there are parents anywhere who have stronger and weaker parenting abilities, and adults become a product of situations in their lives that they cannot control, making their ability to raise and care for their own children even harder, that's true in Israel as well. The Genesis 1-2-3 Foundation is committed and takes the mandate seriously to care for the least of these, our brothers, our children. We're committed to bless and strengthen orphans and at-risk youth, to invest in them, to empower them, so that their future will be brighter than their past or their present. But Israel is unique in that there are always threats of war and terror which know no bounds. For children who come from homes that are not safe, sometimes the very scary reality of living in a community that's not safe is too much to bear. We are committed to turning orphans and at-risk youth into children of promise. We fund a variety of programs to help those most in need as widely as we can. We invite and encourage you to join us today so that we can ensure their brighter tomorrow. Please visit genesis123.co to find out more and to send your love and most generous donation today.
Emily, you were referenced there. I think if this recording were a cardio exercise, you got as close to having some cardio there. Just laughing at the shared experience that you had with Olga as I think Rolene said, as a girl's girl. But on that or any other topic, you were tremendously close to Olga, as you are to her family. What would you like to share?
I'll comment and start, but actually, if you don't mind, I might close the round. But Rolene got me on the royals. It was fascinating how obsessed she was with the royals. I had a very unique privilege I've worked with Olga for over a decade. And when I met her, I thought to myself, I think the line probably was what we all know of. My goodness, that woman's got a lot of passion for many things. She was passionate about so many things, about South Africa, about Africa. You know, in casual conversation, she would always say, work on the continent, just assuming that everyone in the world knew she was talking about Africa. And I think that it's, I mean, I can remember her so often sitting in a meeting anywhere in the world, and she would very classy, very worldly, as Arthur said, just compose herself, and then we would leave the meeting, and she would turn back into that girly girl, and she'd be like, "What was that?" just almost, you know, lose it. And I'll talk more when we finish kind of the round about Olga's work with us and what we've been able to do over the past years, and some messages from the family as well. That have sent. But what I'll start with in the meantime is that I think all of us met Olga as an acquaintance, and it's inevitable that she comes to a friend very quickly. For me, she became a teammate, and then she became a partner in our company, and she became family. And this is a phenomenal evening to have Jonathan, because she has a family all over the world.
Yes.
Mourning and remembering everything from the girly moments and the obsession with the royals and chicken wings and all of the quirky stuff we all have, all the way to the phenomenal moments that we'll continue to speak about.
Yeah. Thank you, Emily. Greg, we met several weeks ago when I was in Charlotte, and Olga was meant to have been there, but she did something really beautiful and special as a daughter to go home to help settle her mother's estate. And someone smarter than I will put those pieces together, that's what happened just before she died. But you and I met at a great event that was put together. You and your wife were tremendous. And again, it's so crazy to say were. It should not be past tense, but we're so close to her. What would you like to share about some unique story?
Yes, I definitely will. But before I elaborate, so to speak, I want to just read aloud what I wrote on Facebook minutes after I found out what happened on January the 6th. As I was processing it, you know, instead of it just poured out of me. So this paragraph: for those who didn't know Olga, it's hard to describe the light that she emitted. I could mention that she was a woman of deep Christian faith who dedicated her life to the Jewish people. I can mention that every year Jerusalem Post announces 25 visionaries around the world. In 2023, Olga was not just one of them, she was number one. I can mention that she was brilliant. She made partner in her law firm at the age of 25 before giving up money for Israel advocacy. But there is no way I can describe how rooms changed when she walked into them, how they lit up. Her energy was indescribable. They say that some people are so pure and full of light that God wants them close to him long before their time. She was definitely one of those. So I met Olga similarly to Arthur, in a way. He met her as the daughter of great Reverend Mesho. I met her as the daughter-in-law of the great Pastor Washington when I was still living in Bay Area, California, before moving to Charlotte. She immediately became involved with Club Z as an auxiliary. She attended a conference back then. Children fell in love with her. Just to explain, so Club Z is an organization for young Zionists, for school-age Jewish kids, to teach them more about the history of Jewish people and to teach them about Israel. Olga was all in from the start, from the moment she found out about it. At the same time, this was around 2020, my wife opened a chapter of Club Z here in Charlotte. And in next year, Olga said that she wanted to move in Charlotte, and she would be honored to to lead the North Carolina chapter, which she did for several years. And without doubt, our kids were the luckiest among all other Clubsy kids to have Olga as their teacher, as their mentor is something they will never forget.
Thank you.
I know because all of those kids who met her, they're crying, boys, girls. They can't believe it. And she then, a couple of years ago, she took the position of CEO of Clubsy, which she did a tremendous job, but still was very involved locally, especially after October 7th. And then she resigned because she thought that her place was as a leader of African Zionists, as an envoy to the African people on behalf of the Jewish people.
Right.
And she was working on that very actively, as some of the guests here definitely know. And she would have been, what she would have done is even, it's impossible to imagine. I just want to say that one of the last public events that I attended with Olga was about 7 months ago. She spoke at, maybe a little more, she spoke at University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, about what real apartheid is and about how appalling it is that that term would be used in conjunction with Israel.
Yes.
And the audience was mixed. There were, I don't think there were many crazies on the other side, but there were definitely people not sympathetic to Israel in any way. After listening to her presentation for nearly 2 hours, about 10 of them stayed behind and spoke to her for about another hour and a half or two. She was very tired. She spoke not only with knowledge and conviction, she always spoke with great respect. Those people walked away definitely with different ideas than what when they came to that lecture.
Thank you, Greg. That's great. Yeah, and that was one of her gifts. David, you mentioned just a little bit before I was there in North Carolina that you had also gone to visit. What to share with us, not necessarily the business, but what was unique from your perspective with Olga or her uniqueness?
My entrance always was been an admirer from afar, because she was concentrating a lot with South Africa and Israel relations, and I was running around the United States. But how I got to know her personally is through the Washingtons, because Dumasani Washington is a dear friend. I was hanging out with Josh a couple of months ago in Boston, and I was with the family a few months ago, and we were plotting on how we would deal with a certain initiative with Emily in addressing the issue of anti-Semitism on campus. And I was just about to call her last week and just mentioned we're going to move forward. And I got obviously the news and everything like that. So for me personally, Olga and what I've seen of her and how I connected with the family is when we talk about a woman of valor in a religious context, there's only one woman in the Bible that is given that honor, and that's Ruth. And Ruth was said yes to God. And we recite Ruth on Shavuot as to pay tribute. Not only that, every single Friday night, Proverbs 31, where we talk about Eshet Chayil, is something that we articulate to our wives, and we pray this blessing over our wives for a woman of valor. But what that really means in essence is that someone gave up everything to be with Israel and to be with Israel's God. And if there's very few people, especially in women leadership, who has done something who is not Jewish and was willing to say yes. So if I would encapsulate what a modern day version of what Solomon was talking about, that would be Olga. So I'm sorry to put on the theologian hat today, but that's, for me, that's what I experienced through seeing her life when it came to Israel and the Jewish people. There are very few who have done that. And appropriately, it's Solomon who, you know, bartered all these type of treaties with different nations, but it is Solomon who connected the African world at his time. So isn't it appropriate that Olga, who comes from Africa and made her way to the United States to bridge that to, now I would even say this, to the credit to Emily and to yourself, for Israel to say, we wish for her to be buried in Israel, is a testament that what was prophesied to Ruth, that Boaz said to Ruth, that you will be eventually incorporated into the people of Israel. Well, with your efforts, this is actually going to happen next week. So that's my snapshot. I can elaborate a little bit more, but I just want to add a little bit of a religious context, because I guess we're all Jews on this call, and we're talking about a Christian Zionist, but no one's really pointing out her Christianity. We're pointing out her. And so that means she is accepted with us. And I think that's the miracle that we're experiencing right now on the Zoom, right? So, you know, I just want to take a moment of reflecting. Like, I only had this last week with Gary Bachman. You know that Gary Bachman, also a Christian Zionist. All the Jews got together in Pomerantz Bookstore to honor this Christian Zionist. But at the end, it was like, we're a bunch of Jews and Israelis saying he's one of us. So here we're saying she's one of us.
And to further your point, in Ruth, where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried.
Yeah.
But through this, I hope her spirit will be kept alive.
Friends, Israel's at war, and the war may get worse before it gets better. Much worse. It's going to be a long war, because the enemy is the epitome of evil. It's not just a matter of overcoming troops on a battlefield, but overcoming a theology, an ideology, an evil one. While the Genesis 1-2-3 Foundation has been overwhelmed with the support of so many donations to the Israel Emergency Campaign, there's so much more that needs to be done. We've invested your donations that we've received so far strategically to make the biggest impact possible, whether helping with soldiers and their equipment and personal needs, to providing civilian security for outlying border communities, to relocating and settling several families from near the Gaza war zone, launching the global petition drive to support Israel in the face of pressure for a ceasefire and long-term needs for at-risk children, traumatized now more than ever before. Please take a moment to pause this conversation right now and go to love.genesis123.co and donate generously. We value your trust, and we will keep all donors informed about how and where your donations are being used to contribute to make the biggest impact possible. And when you use that link, love.genesis123.co, you can also send your prayers and words of encouragement to Israelis of all backgrounds, just sending your love, something that we need so desperately. Thank you, and God bless you and your loved ones.
Benji, let's move to South Africa. I hope Benji's there. Okay. Unless we're having an issue of load sharing.
Thank you, Jonathan. No load sharing. Can you hear me?
It's a little bit broken up.
Jonathan, can you hear me?
Go ahead. We'll roll with it.
Anyone else that can you?
Yes.
Hear me?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Are we good?
Give it a shot, Benji.
Can you hear me?
Okay.
Okay. Give me a favor, Jonathan. Maybe move to the next person.
Okay.
Let me see if I can.
We'll move along. I wanted to ask.
So first of all, thank you for organizing this.
And second of all, it's a very, kind of older, thing here that I have people here who I move along.
Okay, Benji. I think there, maybe you can log back in. There's definitely a problem with the audio, and
I'm not really hearing you. And I'm gonna just see what I can do about this line. I thought it was working, but clearly we're having an issue.
Okay, thank you, Emily. I want to come back to you. We're a couple of more points, but there's, you know what? One of the problems with this is that we could go all day, and we should. But
with a very Olga line. What just happened on any call when that happens in South Africa, Olga would say, "Oh, my South Africa." and that was part of her passion. And I think the uniqueness for me about sharing the work with Olga and the experiences of over a decade is you couldn't help but be motivated and encouraged and full of hope when you worked with her. And for me, there were so many times over the years that that she would call and say, "Em, we got to do this." And never once was I ever able to say no, and vice versa. And so more recently, I'll kind of give something from what she's been busy with for the past year, because a lot of you and a lot of the people she knows, she kind of, you know, disappeared in a way. But as Greg pointed out, what she was doing and what everyone knew she was doing is she put full throttle after October 7th to say that this chaos and this madness would not continue. And she joined a team of people that have been working diligently to make sure that that bridge is bigger, stronger, more accepting than ever between Israel and the Christian world, between Israel and Africa. She's probably sat and spoken to more heads of state and members of parliament in African countries this year than most of us will in a lifetime. Working at our cause, all of us as Jews, as Israelis, and as Zionists, and 100%, she's one of us. On the contrary, I would say that she would push our entire team of Israeli Jews, even when we were exhausted, and never. We were just kind of like, "Oh, we need a break," and she'd be like, "Yeah, we'll break later. We're keeping on this, and we're going and going." And I think that's one of the things that we all got to know about Olga over the years is, I mean, we can all talk about it here, the incredible capacity that woman had. Can you imagine just on this call, the amount of organizations, the amount of companies, the amount of things that this woman was involved with? I mean, you know, we traditionally stuck in our own lives and complain about this one job that we have and this one family we take care of. I've just heard over the past half an hour, you know, she found time, and I know Olga's schedule. She found time in her day to think about Rolene and her husband, to pick up the phone and call her. People have reached out to me this week to say, "Em, I felt so close to Olga. Now I'm seeing everyone was so close to Olga." Because Olga was just that way. You couldn't help but fall in love with her. And it was that way because she was so passionate and compassionate about everything in her life and all of the people in her life. And she was there for you. She could remember to say, "Hey, you know what? Last time I spoke to David, he was going through a hard time. I'm going to call him." She actually cared. It's something that is so missing in our lives these days. And she was in Israel, as it was mentioned on this call. She was in Israel on October 7th, receiving an award for that incredible list that they published, and she was at the top of it. She was in the plane, and she said to me, she said, all of a sudden they came on the speaker, and they said, "You might be seeing what's going on the ground. We don't know if we're going to land." And then she was like, "What are they talking about?" And I called her October 8th, and I did to her what she did to me so many times over the past decade. I said, "Olga, Ali, I need your help." And she said, "I'm in Hanana." and she said, "Come get me." And so I got in my car, went to get her, and it has been an absolute honor and a privilege to work side by side every single day with her since, in doing what she was so incredible at doing. And that was mending hearts, connecting countries, connecting people, giving hope, showing resilience. And what I will say, a lot of what Josh and I and the family have been talking about over the past couple weeks before her passing and after, at Shiva, we also talk about the end, and the end happened really quickly.
Yeah.
Like everything she did in life, she did it quick. She wasn't scared. She was really strong. And she was strong for her family. And her family was an incredible family, and they were strong for her. The only thing that Olga and I ever thought about was a very Christian saying that she used to say. And she would say, all is well. We would sit in crazy meetings like world destruction, and she would come out and she'd say, all is well. And I always said to her, I said, that's such a Christian thing. I don't get it. And the only thing ringing in my mind since she passed is that if she was here, she would be saying to all of us, all is well. I think that's what we should remember.
Yeah. Thank you. Emily, I want to stick with you. Thank you for sharing that. For the record, in 4 years of doing this podcast, it's the only time I've gotten emotional like this. And so thank you for all of you sharing things that are also emotional. Do you want to wait till the end to discuss details for next week? Or do you want to mention something now?
Sure. Well, if Benji is able to connect and talk, then let's...
Okay, good.
I'll do that, and I'll do a quick at the end.
Okay.
You hear me?
Yes, thank God. All is well.
Well, you know, whenever I would speak to Olga or be with her, whatever, then she would always ask that I would bring her something either emotionally or from a language perspective or something from South Africa. So this time we managed to bring the unstable internet, and I think she would have appreciated that. And thank you guys for putting this whole thing together. And it's a very Olga gathering. There's people here who I've never met, I don't even know existed, but also people here who I've known my entire professional life and have done crazy things with for more than 10 years. So it's a very Olga thing to be here. The one thing I just wanted to reflect on is that, and everyone has said it, but it just, I only learned it now that she had died, because I went and listened to some of her interviews, which I didn't do before because, you know, I knew Olga, why must I listen to her doing an interview? But she came to this thing, this Israel advocacy. Actually, everyone here and anyone who met her would have thought that she did this her whole life, but it's not true. You know, she grew up, as you said, with Reverend Meshre, and it's, you know, he's the OG of Christian Zionists in South Africa, and you know, he's been in parliament probably longer than anybody else. But, you know, she had it at a spiritual level. She grew up with the Mishras, but she'd never actually done it politically. She was a lawyer. She'd been to the top universities in the country. She was working with development in Africa. That was the thing. And she got involved because her dad basically, you know, put her on a board of DAISY and said, well, you know, I need to start doing this thing. And the reason that I got to know her was that around the same time as DAISY, we'd been doing SAFI, the South African Friends of Israel, and we'd started doing conferences and protests and that sort of thing. And I think by the second one, we already had her as like one of the prime speakers at the conference, because why wouldn't you? And you can go and see it still on the SAFI YouTube, her like first speeches to the community on this. I didn't know that she knew nothing about this, but she didn't have a clue. She had nothing. You know, we all know how complicated the Middle East is, and she was getting up on that platform because she knew it was the right thing to do, and she knew what she believed, even though she had just dived in head first, as Olga always did. And that was just it. And I didn't know any of this before now. I had to wait for her to pass before I could learn that. But that was really her sort of a super competency, being able to do all of this. And from there, I can remember doing our first trip to Israel together. We took the church, and that was very special because, you know, you can do religious trips to Israel and you can do political trips to Israel, but doing a combination of that with South African children and young people, that's not something you get very often to do. And it was with the whole church and her and her dad. And it was like a real, an unusual experience. And it's something that I'll take with me. One other story, which, you know, normally I don't get partisanly involved with politics. It's not my role. But at one point she phoned her and says, "Benji, we need to work on a campaign." It was one of the elections. And she was trying to promote the party. We had like this brainstorm and we were talking and whatever. And she decided, or I decided, whatever, come on. You know, this ACDP, right? And it was like a C, right, for Christian, which she wanted to see in the society of the country. And so that became the campaign on social media. Olga going around the country, finding literally like top politicians from other political parties and taking selfies with them, but not telling them. And then she would like have the C in the picture. And this was like all over the ACDP's social media. And it was just such an Olga thing to do, right? To have the serious political thing. And then it's her like making these signs all over the place. And that has just been something that that has stuck with me as well. And I just, my heart goes out to her family on both sides of the continent, on the American continent and the African continent, and especially her kids. And, you know, Israel, Olga was a member of our community, but she was a member of Africa and she took that very seriously. She was connected to Israel. She was connected to the wider Jewry. She was really an ambassador for the Jewish people and all of the African people, not just on the continent, but in the diaspora. And no one understood that really actually in the world better than she did.
Yeah.
And she brought all of that to it. And she can't be replaced. And I miss her so much.
Thank you.
The restoration of Jewish sovereignty in the land of Israel was an earth-shattering event. For Christians, it was a confirmation that God always keeps his covenantal promises. Today, we are blessed to see God's fingerprints in the modern miracle of the land of Israel playing out in our lives among the people and in the state of Israel. This year, on the occasion of Israel's 75th anniversary, the Genesis 123 Foundation has been privileged to bring together 75 Christian leaders from around the world to lend their unique voices, sharing their personal faith experiences relating to Israel and their in-depth insight into Israel's history and spiritual significance to create an historical, one-of-a-kind, high-end coffee table book, Israel the Miracle. Israel the Miracle's stunning imagery will fill your home with the hope of fulfilled promises and conversations about Israel. It's a perfect gift to anybody for any occasion, and most of all, to yourself. You'll also be a blessing to Israel, knowing that the proceeds will go to bless Israelis of all backgrounds. Be a part of Israel the Miracle and bring the land, the people, and the state of Israel into your heart and into your home. Visit israelthemiracle.com to get your limited edition copy today. The restoration of Jewish sovereignty in the land of Israel was an earth-shattering event. For Christians, it was a confirmation that God always keeps his covenantal promises. Today, we are blessed to see God's fingerprints in the modern miracle of the land of Israel playing out in our lives among the people and in the state of Israel. This year, on the occasion of Israel's 75th anniversary, the Genesis 123 Foundation has been privileged to bring together 75 Christian leaders from around the world to lend their unique voices, sharing their personal faith experiences relating to Israel and their in-depth insight into Israel's history and spiritual significance, creating an historical, one-of-a-kind, high-end coffee table book, Israel the Miracle. Israel the Miracle's stunning imagery will fill your home with the hope of fulfilled promises and conversations about Israel. It's a perfect gift to anyone for any occasion, and most of all, to yourself. You'll also be a blessing to Israel, knowing that the proceeds will go to bless Israelis of all backgrounds. Be a part of Israel the Miracle and bring the land, the people, and the state of Israel into your heart and into your home. Visit IsraelTheMiracle.com to get your limited edition copy today.
We're going to do a couple of round of quick questions, so everyone answer briefly, and then we'll come back to Emily at the end because she's got some announcements about plans for Olga's funeral. We'll start more or less in the same order. Rolene, what are you going to miss the most?
Everything. Olga is irreplaceable. You know, when I saw the news, and Ben just saw it on one of the groups that we are on, I had such a visceral reaction that it shook my husband. He couldn't understand why I had reacted so viscerally, because I actually couldn't explain what I was reacting to, because it felt like the earth shifted off its axis for those moments. And I will miss everything about her. You know, there's a beautiful line in one of the posts Joshua wrote. He said, they spoke about how the heavens would applaud the life that she led. And I don't think it's just the heavens that are applauding the life that Olga Meshwe Washington led. I think it's every single one of us for a long, long time to come. We'll not just be applauding, we will be giving her a standing ovation, because she deserves nothing less. And, you know, unfortunately, I won't be able to be at the funeral next week because we have a big WITSO conference here. But I am so grateful for this opportunity to share what we think, to share what we feel. And I don't think that there are words that can bring comfort to the Meshwe and Washington families. But if they can just have a small slice of what so many of us in Israel, in South Africa, around the world feel for the magnificent queen that was Olga Meshwe Washington, and queen she was because she conducted herself with the most incredible regal bearing, inside and out, and she's irreplaceable. And I can't say there's one thing I'll miss about her, because I'll miss everything about her.
Honest answer. Greg, what's the one thing you're going to miss now that
I'll leave this answer?
I'll go with two, more than anything, her love and her wisdom. And the love, what she brought as a friend is even more important than what she brought as a colleague in this battle. She had such an incredible heart. Her last thing from her is her message on on my wife's phone from the hospital, talking about how she, you know, asking to pray for her and how valuable it is for her to have us as friends. And I have a privilege not only of knowing Olga, I'm kind of married to her quiet sister, so to speak. My wife is very much of the same fold, although much quieter. Everybody comes to her for advice, to some extent to me as well. But we both went to Olga for advice, even though she was younger. Her wisdom was just incredible. And we'll miss her.
Thank you.
We'll miss that wisdom and love very, very much.
David, what are you going to miss the most?
It's the smile that walked into the room.
Yeah.
That for me is something I'm going to miss. And I felt the same with as Rolene did, as when I got the news, the Earth's axis fell off. And it took me 3 days just to recover, trying to figure out, as a 44-year-old woman who's done so much, what could she have done? Was always like, look what she did in a short amount of time. I could just only imagine what she would be able to do. So I think I would say to you, it's not only missing her smile, it's missing the ability for her to be in the presence of everything, of sanctified moments in groups that are advocating for Israel and Jewish people. And she won't be there.
You know, David, it's fascinating to be having these conversations because we build upon one another, and it is like we're all at Shiva. But when you just said it, that she was 44 years old, that's the age that Theodor Herzl was. Right? No one did more than Theodor Herzl in 44 years. But if we're counting the impact that Olga made, she gave it a very close second. Benji, what are you going to miss the most?
I mean, I think two things. The one, you'll have to miss the laughter, right? When Olga found something funny, there was no stopping her for quite a long time. And the second thing would have to be the understanding. Like, you know, we work in communities where people come to this stuff and they have to learn it, and there's engagement. But Olga understood at an empathetic level, at a strategic level, at a knowledge level, at a future level, at a past level, at a spiritual level, that really is unsurpassed in the community of people that we are, whatever faith. And that to be able to access that, or not able to access it, is something I'm going to miss an enormous amount.
Thank you. Emily, what are you going to miss the most?
Her faith. Her faith that drove everything that she did. Unwavering. Drove her leadership, drove her personality. It's what gave her all of that wisdom that we all benefited from. And I think that all of us felt like we lost a north compass that day. And we have to remember that faith that drove her. Not only her faith in her religion and in God, but her faith in us as a people.
Thank you. I've been privileged to play the role of moderator here. I want to make two comments before kind of going to the last wrap up. David, you mentioned, and I don't know if it's true, but we'll go with it, that it's probable that Olga's last printed words about Israel were in the book that we published in 2023, Israel the Miracle. And what's interesting about that is it was 2 years ago now, more or less, that her mother died. And I was on deadline and I was pushing them hard, Joshua and Olga, to write this essay. And in the end, they were grateful, and I tried to be super sensitive during their mourning. But I'm very privileged that we have their essay. And if it's indeed her last printed words, a great honor. Last time I saw Olga was in September when I was in Charlotte. And I like to do Shabbat in hotels and invite Christian friends to join me for meals. And they came for Shabbat afternoon with their boys, with Ezra and Judah. And because I'm a parent of a few kids and grandparent of a few, I knew I should ask before I bought all the junk that I would be normally inclined to want to give to little children on Shabbat afternoon. But I did, and we had such a lovely afternoon. And for me, everything, the smile, the wisdom, everything that you're saying is all correct. But I loved having that privilege of spending the afternoon with them and seeing Olga as a parent. Just seeing her kids climbing on her in a total normal setting. And I'm going to always take that with me. And by the way, as everything she did, she excelled in that super well. So the last area that I'm going to go to, and it's real hard even just to articulate, but Ezra and Judah are 6 and 4. I don't even know if they can comprehend the loss. And it's horrible. So I like to use this last round of opportunity before Emily speaks to ask you each, when they look at this in 5 years, 10 years, when they want to introduce their wives to their mother, what do you want their children? What do you want Ezra and Judah to know about their mother? Rolene, you're first.
Israel and Judah, please know how much your mother loved you more than anything in the world. It will be the blessing of your life to find women as special as your mom. I know that you will honor her memory and you will do her proud, and that she will not leave you for a second.
Come back. Greg?
Oh, just, I would tell them, I hopefully will be able to tell them, you know, last time I saw them was on Thanksgiving with their parents in my home. Day after Thanksgiving. And I would tell them that, as many people as she was close to, all these, you know, absolutely incredible amount of people that she was so close to, that they were always the light of her life. Like watching her with them was lovely in itself. First with Ezra and then with Judah, and both of them, of course. And so many people love her mother, love their mother, and she earned every bit of it.
Thank you, David. What do you want to tell Ezra and Judah?
There's no question. Growing up without a mother in the most crucial years is very hard on any child. But this was a mother that was quite different, that you can compare to our matriarchs in the Bible, who paved the way to be a role model for people to be inspired to work for God, work for your nation, work for the family, and be a bridge builder. So if she was a bridge builder down here, I'm sure she's a bridge builder up in heaven. And she is obviously throughout your years, whether you knew it or not, making sure that she was in your life and guiding you through the Holy Spirit in your life.
Thank you. Benji?
I would say to them, first of all, that you got very lucky with COVID, because Olga used to threaten me. She wanted me to be a good parent, so she threatened that I may have to do nappies at some point. But because you were stuck in America, I never had that opportunity, which is probably good for you. I can remember at one stage, she sent me this picture of Ezra with his toe in his hair. She said to me, look, some people have talents for all sorts of things. My son can put his toe in his hair and he likes it. And then went on to tell me all the other things that were so good about Ezra. And that was what your mother was all about, right? Could find the talent in anyone and anything. And what I would say is two things. First of all, look after your dad. You know, he came into Olga's life probably later than she would have liked, but he filled her with so much joy and love. And that is something to emulate as young men going forward. And just remember that you really are the union or the produce of two families that really represent the same things in two different parts of the world. The Meshus are the OG Zionist family of South Africa, and the Washingtons, in the same way, in the same African-American, you're the royalty of Zion. And what you need to act like that, because you have someone's very special memory riding on it.
Thank you, Benji. Emily?
So, Ezra and Judah, your entire life, you've known some of the people on this call, as Auntie Emily, Auntie Orlean, Uncle Benji, and Ola always introduced us that way. She always made sure that you knew that you were part of a bigger family. And you always will be. And there was nothing that could make you smile at the end of a day more than when she would get a phone call from you guys and answer, "Ezra, my boy, Judah, Wuda, Wuda." And she would light up no matter what she was doing. And if you've listened to this video, you've heard how incredible of a woman she was, a woman of valor, a warrior, a hero. Not many kids get to actually see the proof that their mom was a superhero. And she was. And the amazing thing is that she would every day look at the two of you in absolute awe of how incredible you two are. the abilities that you have. And we all said to her at some point, nobody's shocked. They're your kids. And so you boys, you are her princess. And you always will be. And you'll always have all of us, your aunties and uncles, to be here for you.
Emily, you worked making miracles happen here over the last number of days to ensure that Olga could be buried here on January 22nd. You want to talk about that a little bit as we wrap up and what it means to the family and what still needs to be done?
Absolutely. I'll just say that it was mentioned already multiple times that she was a woman of valor. And Jonathan, you started the call by asking if you pronounced the name of the company right. It was my American side when I said yes. I was being polite. The answer is no. The company is called Valop. It's a combination of Valor Operations because it was privileged to have women like Olga from all over the world that work on things that you have to be very brave and courageous and very wise to do. And it was a privilege of my life to work with people like that. And many years ago, when I called it Valop, it was because I believe that each and every one of them were women of valor. And I think that it's suiting that we finish this call and all of us uncoordinated, knowing that that's the type of woman we're talking about. And rightfully so, as David pointed out, when the news came in that she'd gone, Josh and I took a few days, and then he called me in the middle of the night and he said, I can't do it. I don't think she's supposed to be buried in North Carolina. I don't think she's supposed to be buried in South Africa. Her heart was in Israel. And I said, you know that I don't think it's ever been done. And he said, well, then leave that to her. And I said, well, the only person I know that could break even more glass ceilings even after she's gone is Olga. So though I didn't perform any miracles this week, Jonathan, she did. All I did was pick up the phone. And the entire country, and this I'll say thank you to everyone that assisted with this, from ambassadors that knew her to the president of the state of Israel, to airlines that are currently still helping to get done what needs to get done. Everyone knew that there was no question Olga deserved a very, very special status and a very special right to be one of the only non-Israeli, non-Jewish members of the world to be brought to Israel to lay to rest. And so that will happen next week, January 22nd at 1 o'clock. At Tal Regev Cemetery near Haifa, there will be transportation. We know that a lot of people are wanting to come to bid their proper farewell. There will be transportation, and we'll circulate a link together with this video from Jerusalem, from Tel Aviv, and from Haifa, shuttles available to everyone. Hundreds of people have donated to help Josh and Ezra and Judah and the family through this, and some of those funds are going to help with funeral costs as well. As you could imagine, this is not a cheap endeavor. However, everyone has come and done as much as they can. Currently, we're still looking to raise roughly about another $50,000 to be able to cover funeral costs. And if there's anyone that would like to be able to give and participate, we'll send that link as well. And Jonathan, and stand with us. Thank you so much to both of you guys to helping with these funds and collecting them, but allowing people to be part of this very, very special moment, celebrating a very, very special woman. And the family has asked me to say a special heartfelt thank you like all of us, it's hard for them to comprehend what's going on. And it's been Judah and Ezra that have put their hand on everyone at some point when they see that it's so hard. And the entire family will be in Israel next week, the South African family and the American family, celebrating with their Israeli family the life of Olga. And to just come and put a hand on them the same way that their boys are, because that's what their mom taught them to do, I think is a special opportunity for all of us. And so that's, of course, also the event will be live streamed. Parts of it, segments of it, there will be a private moment for the family. But we invite everyone to take part in joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Emily. And we'll distribute that with this video and with the audio that's coming out on Thursday. Look, the last thing, this is not a normal conversation. So much of death and mourning is not. And I'm just dispensing with the formality of reading the end of our podcast as I do. We always dedicate an episode in memory or honor of somebody. This episode is in memory and in honor of our friend and our mentor and our inspiration, and with prayers that this and so much else of the love that has been expressed, it simply reflects everything that Olga was, will continue to be a comfort for her family. So I thank you all for joining, for sharing very difficult things to talk about. And I pray that it'll be easier for all of us. And we all have a torch to carry and continue bearing her light. Thank you all. Hallelujah. Al-Mashiach.